What's up, everybody? This is the Locked On Yankees podcast, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you're a new listener to the show, hello and welcome. I hope you enjoy it. I am your host, Stacey Gatsoulias. I'm an author of Baseball Prospectus, and you can follow me on Twitter at my personal account, Stace Gotts, or you can follow the Locked On Yankees account. You can also listen and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can also listen to the show on our website, lockedonyankees.com. And finally, you can play Locked On Yankees on your smart speakers by saying, play podcast Locked On Yankees. As always, you can email us questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. In today's episode of Locked On Yankees, it's all about the division series, which starts tonight. And I can't believe it's here. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not as nervous as I thought I would be, which is very strange because I was kind of a wreck on Wednesday. But I became more of a wreck as the game got closer. So maybe by the time 7 o'clock rolls around, I will be as anxious as I was on Wednesday night. So tonight's matchup is Hap against Sale. Hap has done really well since coming over from the Blue Jays in late July. He's 7-0 with a 2.69 ERA and 11 starts. He's allowed 51 hits. He's walked 16. He's struck out 63 in 63 2/3 innings. Now, he's also done well against the Red Sox, which is probably why he's starting game one, because that means he can start a game five if necessary. He's 8-4 with a 2.98 ERA in 21 games in his career against Boston. But this season, he has faced them four times. He's gone 1-1 with a 1.99 ERA. He's allowed 5 earned runs, 17 hits in 22 2/3 innings. He's only walked 6, and he's struck out 29. Chris Sale will be going for the Red Sox, but he's had shoulder inflammation, which has put him on the DL twice in the second half, and he's only pitched 17 innings after July 27th. And his velocity's down a bit, which is a little frightening for the Red Sox, but if you see him coming out firing 98 and 99 in the first inning, watch in the second inning and see if he's still up that high, because it could be adrenaline in the first inning. But he returned from the DL on September 11th, and in four starts since then, his appearances have gotten, well, his pitch counts have gotten higher and higher. The first game he came back, he only threw 26, but the last game he started, he threw 92. So he's easing back into everything. Speaking of injured people, the Yankees are at full strength at just the right time, and they're hitting a peak at just the right time. The Red Sox, aside from Sale, haven't really had major injuries like the Yankees have had. But Sale has been lights out against the Yankees this season. He went 2-0 with a 0.69 ERA. Now, you know what I'd normally say after that sort of number, but since it's Chris Sale, I'm not going to say it. He only walked 1, he struck out 19, and Aaron Judge especially does not do well against Sale. He's only had 3 hits in 19 at-bats and 13 strikeouts. Yikes. That's, wow. Yeah, that's not great. Game 2 on Saturday will pit David Price against Tanaka, which I'm kind of surprised about, but you want Severino starting a game 3 in the stadium, so Tanaka's going in game 2. Tanaka has not had a good season against the Red Sox. David Price hasn't had a strong season against the Yankees, although he's pitched a bit better in Fenway than he has in Yankee Stadium. The Yankees seem to tee off him in Yankee Stadium. It's like he's throwing batting practice. Now, Sale tonight, if he can't go deep into the game, the Red Sox are prepared to bring in Nathan Eovaldi, who has given the Yankees fits since he's gone over to the Red Sox after the trade deadline in July. So that'll be something to watch for. You know, don't be so relieved if Chris Sale comes out early, because Nathan Eovaldi has been nearly lights out against the Yankees. So yeah, that could be a problem. Also, he is potentially the game four starter. So that would be, Yankees need to figure that out. So what this all means, with Hap starting game one, Tanaka game two, Severino game three, is that CC Sabathia, who is on the ALDS roster, could possibly start a game four in Yankee Stadium. I'm not that nervous about CC against the Red Sox, because he has been able to do well against them. You just have to hope it's one of those nights where his pitches are actually sinking and sliding and guys are swinging over the top or just completely missing everything. Up next, I might try and give predictions, but I'm not really good at giving predictions like that, but we'll see what happens. But first, so I was a guest on the Hardball Times podcast, which is probably up right now, and you can listen to me. But they asked me some interesting questions for their Yankee Red Sox ALDS preview. And I thought I'd pass some of the answers along, just because they asked me key players in the series who could be the deciding factor in the series. I named Masahiro Tanaka, Gary Sanchez, and Luis Severino. As I said earlier, Tanaka has not done well against the Red Sox this season, and if he comes out and has a good game in Fenway Park, in the division series, and it helps the Yankees go home with a split or up to nothing, but I envision more of a split going into the games at Yankee Stadium. Anyway, if he can do that, that will be a very big boost for the Yankees. Sanchez, as we know, has just had a really rough year. And every time you think he's snapped out of his offensive woes, he falls right back into them. And he's also had a rough year behind the plate, although he really did a really good job on Wednesday night, catching some of those pitches from Betances, Robertson, Severino's slider, you know, all those pitches with the crazy movement, and he blocked all of them. And he also called a really great game. So the one good thing about Sanchez on Wednesday night was that, you know, no matter how bad he was doing at the plate, he didn't take it behind the plate. And that will be a big key. You know, he's one of those guys who could turn a game around with a big hit. He also likes hitting in Fenway Park. So he could be a key factor in the series. And then I named Severino because he's the ace. He is pitching the game that starts the series in Yankee Stadium. Those two games are very important. And game three could be a swing game. And he just really needs to go out and pitch like the ace that he is. He needs to pitch at least five innings, maybe six if he can. He can't have an outing where he only goes four because he's thrown 90 pitches in four innings. He needs to be more economical. But if his slider is working and it's tricking people, he should have a good outing. So let's hope that happens. But if he does, and you know, they win that game, that's a big factor. As for the series itself, I can't really predict who's going to win. I have no idea. And even though the Red Sox have eight more wins than the Yankees, they're really closely matched. You know, if you think of all those games that the Yankees lost because of strange bullpen decisions, or, you know, games that they just dropped because they were playing lackadaisical. And, you know, the Yankees could have won 108 games this season easily if they hadn't been so bad against Baltimore, if they hadn't lost games against other teams that were terrible. So you know, they're closer, like their matchup is a lot closer than people tend to think it is. So it's not like a 108 win team is playing against a 92 win team. You know, the wild card teams were good this year, better than Cleveland. So it's just, I really think it's going to go five. And I think we're all going to have to up our dosage of whatever anti-anxiety meds we take. but I can't say who'll win. It's a toss-up. Either team can win. I mean, that's how I see it. But yeah, that's my way of not predicting. I'll predict it's going five. I won't predict who's winning. How's that for an answer? But let's just briefly talk about how we're feeling about this. I mean, it was kind of funny to be rooting for the Yankees in the wild card game, knowing that they'd have to play the Red Sox in a five-game series. Because, like I said, five-game series are crapshoots. One little mistake can kill you. You know, how many years did the Yankees lose in the division series when they were the best team in baseball? You know, it happens. Division series are tricky. So anything can happen. Anything will happen. I just hope that the Yankees are the ones that come out on top. Although, you know, then after that, they could be playing the Astros again. And oh, good Lord. So let's just say the playoffs should be good. The Astros and the Indians, I believe, are playing the first game today out of the four. I think it's Astros, Indians, Brewers, Braves, Yankees, Red Sox. Not Brewers, Braves. Brewers, Rockies. Dodgers, Braves. Dodgers beat up the Braves last night. The Braves were probably like, oh, this is what it's like being in this playoffs again. I don't know. If the Dodgers win tonight, I could see them sweep the Braves out of the playoffs. And the Brewers won in exciting fashion yesterday because both teams just like playing in extra innings for some reason. so that could be one of those series that goes five and all the games are close and, you know, that could be another good series. I'm interested to see how the Indians and Astros match up in a five-game series. The Astros were really picking it up at the end of the year. Just like the Yankees, all of their injured players, I believe all of them are back. I think Altuve was out for a little bit. Correa was out for a little bit. I think even Springer was out for a little bit. So they are, I think the Astros are actually the more dangerous team than even the Red Sox. I think the Astros are the team that they have to go through the Astros in order to get to the World Series. I think that if the Astros and the Red Sox advance to the ALCS, I can see the Astros winning. And I can also see them winning in like five games as opposed to seven. That's how good they are. I can see them winning the World Series again, much to my chagrin. I don't want them to go back to back. I want the Yankees to still be the last team to go back to back. That's a little bit of my selfishness. I can't help it. But up next will be the last segment of the show. I'm still trying to decide what I want to talk about because I've talked about the game tonight. I've talked about possible matchups. So we'll see what my brain decides to do. But first, so in this last segment, I'm just going to talk about pop music. Just kidding. That's a really old reference. If anyone gets that, let me know. oh, yes. A reporter said, talk about blah, blah, blah to Chris Sale, and Chris Sale wasn't having it. Players don't like when reporters say, talk about this or talk about that. It's kind of like a cop-out. Like, ask a question. I mean, I know it's not that easy coming up with questions. I shouldn't even be talking about this because I am terrified of interviewing people. I've never interviewed anyone. I've had opportunities to interview people and I just chicken out every time. I actually got an email from a publicist yesterday to email Rob Nyer about his new book, which I've received a preview copy of that I'm going to try and start reading this week. And just the thought of interviewing him is terrifying. some people tell me I should practice with my family or my friends, but my problem is, aside from my voice being gone, my problem is wanting to come up with good questions and not sounding like a moron. Because you ever listen to post-game press conferences and, you know, the times when you can actually hear the question? Sometimes you sit there and you're like, did you really ask that question? And the players also have that same look on their face. Like they look like Scooby-Doo going, huh? Because they're just like, what kind of a question is that? My favorite person, Mike Messina, he was the best during his post-game interviews. I loved him. He was sarcastic. He was dry. He was obnoxious. If you ever asked him a stupid question, he would answer you with an equally, not stupid answer, but he would just be I believe he hurt himself pitching. And I think it was in Fenway, if I remember what the locker room looked like behind his head. But I believe Susan Waldman asked him how he got injured, and he said, pitching. That's how he answered it. It was so great. And anytime anyone asked him a question like that, he would come out with an answer like that. And I think that's why Michael Kay really didn't like Mike Messina, because Mike Messina didn't tolerate stupidness. He was a smart guy, and he has that sense of humor. And I would love to see another player be like that again. You know, like Aaron Judge is very canned in his answers. Like he's very, like he thinks about what he's going to say. You could tell how his brain works. You know, he makes sure that he says the right thing. He doesn't say anything too controversial. Anytime anyone asks him about him, he switches it to the team. It's like, dude, like be proud. And, you know, be a little cocky that you hit 52 home runs last year. I mean, come on. That's amazing. You know, and then you have the guys who are just happy to be there, like Luke Voit, which I think is very sweet and cute and adorable. And, you know, I can say that because I'm old enough to be his really young hip mother. You know, you had Jeter with his canned answers. Although by the end of his career, he started showing his really obnoxious side, which was great because it was just so boring watching him answer questions. And then towards the end of his career, he's like, I don't give a hoot. I'm just going to be a jackass. I loved that. I don't even remember how I got on this tangent right here. But I was thinking about playoff games that I've gone to in the past, and I think I'm going to discuss games on the days that they happened. Like, you know, I went to game 5 of the 0-1 division series. That was October 15th of 0-1, because everything was pushed back in 0-1 for obvious reasons. I can talk about the World Series games I've gone to. I can talk about, here I am saying talk about, I can discuss games in which my friend accidentally spilled a whole beer on like a 6-year-old girl, which was the most humiliating thing for him ever. He felt terrible. The girl was crying. We were in the upper deck in right field. I think we were more between first base and the foul pole, but we were way up. Like, we were so high up in the upper deck that the bugs were flying into the lights above our heads and they were falling into our drinks. It was so gross. So I sat there the whole time covering my soda with my hands because I was like, ew, what is happening? It was like raining bugs on our heads. So this little girl not only had dead bugs falling on her, but she was soaked with an entire beer. My friend was so embarrassed. And, you know, first the mother was pissed, but it's like, you know, stuff happens. You know, remember the upper deck in Yankee Stadium? How steep it was. And, you know, if you're trying to navigate going through a row of people with a tray of something, it's going to happen. you know, and it just so happened to fall on that poor little girl's head. That was an interesting night. I had another great night in 02. I actually had game two tickets in my package, but I bought a ticket for game one and I went alone, which people thought was the strangest thing, but I used to like going to games alone because I always ran into people I knew. I saw, and I'm not exaggerating, 7 people that I knew at that game. And I was sitting in the upper deck. I saw 6 of them around me in the upper deck. I ended up running into a friend from college I hadn't seen in a few years. So I ended up going out with him and his friend, didn't get home till 3:30, went to work the next day, then went to the game the next night. Then I was out again because the game was really long. I didn't get home until like 3:30 in the morning because me and my neighbor missed the Staten Island Ferry at a certain time. And after a certain time, it doesn't run as often. So I actually remember calling up my boss at like 2:45 in the morning and saying, I'm sitting here looking at New York Harbor, waiting for the Staten Island Ferry. So if I'm late tomorrow, this is why. And I actually made it into work by 9:15. And when she saw me at my desk, she's like, I really thought you weren't coming in until at least noon. Just so many games that I went to, good and bad, that I haven't been to a playoff game since 2011 against Detroit. Game two, and they lost that game. I went to the continuation of game one, which they won, and then I went the next day to game two, and they lost, and then we know how that series went. I didn't get to go to any playoff games in 2012, which was a bummer, because I am so jealous of the people who were at the Raul game against the Orioles. People say that that was the first time that the new stadium was really, really rocking. And every time I think of that game was insane. Like, go on YouTube and just watch Raul's at-bats and the reactions to the at-bats. And just, it was really, that was one of those games where you thought, oh my God, they could possibly win the World Series. And then Derek Jeter collapses into a heap, can't walk on his ankle, breaks it, and the stadium becomes like a funeral parlor. And that was one of those moments where you knew the Yankees were done. There was no way they were winning that series. So let's hope nothing like that happens tonight, okay? Let's hope that everything is good in Fenway Park, everyone stays healthy, no shenanigans happen, and it's just a clean, hard-fought game. So anyway, let's end the podcast on that note. Let's just hope for a really good game. Let's hope for a Yankees win. And hopefully when I come back on Monday, I have at least one good game to talk about. I hope it's not the same situation as in Cleveland last season when they came back down 0-2. So let's all cross our fingers on that. So that's it for today's episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, Stacey Gotsoulias. You can follow me on Twitter at StaceGots, and you can follow the Locked On Yankees account. Once again, you can email us questions at lockedonnyy@gmail.com. You can also rate this podcast on Apple and on Google. You can subscribe at Apple, Google, Spotify, and Stitcher. Please rate the podcast. Let me know how I'm doing. I know I was babbling a bit today. I'm just really excited about the Yankees making it to the division series, even if it is against the Red Sox. So let's go, Yankees. Enjoy your weekend, and I'll talk to you all on Monday.